Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Monday, everybody. Today, in celebration of Mars turning retrograde, and we're at the cusp of November, we are going to do November's horoscopes, but we're going to do them as a Mars retrograde focused horoscope. Now, I've done a Mars retrograde horoscope already, so we're going to do a second take on this because I think that in looking over the horoscopes and in visiting with clients, I've just added new insights and have a kind of a different set of observations to make. So, and plus I think, you know, a lot of the times we can watch a series of horoscopes a month before a transit and then just forget them. So I think this is the way to focus our horoscopes for the month of November. We will also be doing a focused horoscope for all 12 signs on the upcoming lunar eclipse in Taurus. So those two transits will get the horoscope treatment this month. And we'll do one this week, and then the eclipse horoscope we'll do next week. So that's how we're going to break it up. Before we get into it, don't forget to like and subscribe, share a few comments in the comments section. Really appreciate when you guys do that throughout the week. Click the notification bell for updates if you want to stay in touch with those times when I go live. You can also find a transcript of any of my daily talks on my website, which is nightlightastrology.com. If you ever want to reread something that I've written, if you prefer the written format in general. My new class starts this Saturday. Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic begins on Saturday. So I'm going to point you over to the website right now. This is the last chance to sign up. We still have about 50 need-based tuition spots open at the time that I'm recording this. So there is still room for you to sign up and get that need-based tuition break if it will help you. Please, if you're on the fence about it, you know that spot is open and available for someone to use. And if it could help you to take a class that otherwise would be too much of a stretch, please do that. That's what it's there for. You can find that on the bottom of the page, by the way, in the registration options under the tuition assistance. Click apply now. Tell us your situation. We'll be glad to help you out. Otherwise, you also have a payment plan if you want to. If you're not hurting financially, if you want to spread it out over a year, you can do that. We also have the early bird payment. And for a lot of people, that's going to make sense. It saves you about $500 if you pay in full before the start of the course, which you have to do before Saturday. So, and please apply now, get on board now, because it's going to take us a day or two to get you set up in the system. So please don't wait until the very last minute. We really try to avoid that. But yeah, it's a great course. It starts November 12th. It meets 2 to 3 hours at a time. As the year goes on, if you can't make it live for any reason, or if in the whole course you can't make it live, everything's recorded so you can follow at your own pace. Any questions about it, check out the website, nightlightastrology.com. Everything's pretty much answered on the first year course page. You can also email us info@nightlightastrology.com. I'm really excited to be studying this. And by the way, like studying in this cohort is really special because you're going to be studying while the first ingress of Pluto into Aquarius happens. And in my experience, whenever there are major planetary ingresses during one of my courses, they tend to be very special just in terms of the magic and the learning process. I'm not just saying that. That's a real thing that it does tend to happen. And a shift from Pluto into Aquarius while you're studying immersed in ancient astrology, I think is going to be pretty special. So yeah, I encourage you guys to check it out if you're on the fence about it. Just dive in, just do it. There's nothing better than studying astrology. I love this course. I've put a lot of heart and soul into it. So I look forward to studying with some of you soon. All right. Well, today, again, we are going to be looking at our horoscopes for the Mars retrograde, much anticipated Mars retrograde in Gemini. Happy Halloween, by the way, if you're celebrating. We're going to be taking this through the whole sign houses. And I'm going to be offering some commentary for each sign. And this should be, you know, some of the things you may have heard me say before when we looked at this horoscope a month ago, but we're going to revisit it now. And hopefully we'll add some new things with a more complete picture for each sign as well. Some more contextual factors that I'm taking note of as we go. Well, anyway, we're going to start with Aries sun and rising signs. If you listen for Aries sun sign horoscopes, this will match for you. If you're an Aries rising, I recommend listening for your rising sign always. You guys know me, you know that that's always what I have to say. So here you will notice I've got, and the banner's a little big, so it blocks it off. But Aries puts the retrograde of Mars into the third house. Now, one of the things that I am looking at with this Mars retrograde for Aries Sun rising is the mind. And you know what? I think I can share this without having my like desktop thing showing. Let's see if I can do that. Here we go. There we are. All right. Now I don't have to look at my own desktop. All right. So third house is associated with the moon traditionally, and the moon for ancient astrologers, along with Mercury, are associated with the mind and the environment. We are not just, we are not just We are not just automatons. We are creature. We are environmental creatures who, the way we think, what we do, and what happens to us is largely dictated by what else is happening around us. And so I wonder about environmental fluctuations mentally, emotionally, and also just, again, in the physical environment around us or the emotional environment around us. How are we changing our mind, our mood, our environments, or how are changes in the environment impacting or affecting us? Now, for me, what's really interesting about this is that this for Aries, this Mars retrograde is eventually going to hit a Saturn that's just turned direct in your 11th house. And so to me, that also would suggest that the potential for this shift to coincide with some harder or more difficult or challenging changes around friends, groups, allies, and communities would be at play. It's like your mind is changing, which could change your friendships or could change work relationships, could shift how you're looking at friends, groups, and communities of people. I wonder about that quite a bit. I also wonder about how your mind is changing as you are looking more deeply at who or what you are obligated to with eclipse just happening in your eighth house and with another eclipse coming up in your second house, money, finances, debts, and obligations being a part of the changing landscape right now and being a factor that could contribute to whatever Mars retrograde is bringing up, mentally, emotionally, in the environment, how your mind or thinking is changing, how groups or friendships or sort of communal life is changing for you, financial considerations, who and what I'm obligated to. I see all of those things sort of working together right now. Actually, you know what? The problem with this, if I share it like that, it doesn't let me draw on the screen. Sorry, guys. I'm just figuring this out as I go. I'm just going to deal with the desktop being up, whatever. Okay, so so that's my take for Aries, Sun, and Rising. Let's move along to Taurus. With Taurus in the second house, Taurus places the Mars retrograde in the second house. Now, when I look at that and I consider again that we're dealing with a Saturn that has just turned direct, which Mars retrograde will be moving into a trine with in your career house, and then we are also considering an eclipse that's just happened in the first and the seventh. I wonder about identity and relationships and how identity and relationships are, how those themes or topics are coming up and simultaneously impacting things like business, money, and professional life. The financial changes implied by a Mars retrograde in the second house coincide with some kind of shift that you're making publicly, visibly, professionally. And then at the same time, it's as though there's these changes are coming about because of or are impacting your intimate relationships. As you're changing personally, relationships are changing. How are those things and work and money all coming together right now? That's where I see the fault lines collectively. So as you can see with these horoscopes compared to the last one, what I'm doing is sort of digging into a few more contextual factors at work and trying to put them all together because we're in the midst of eclipse season at the same time now. All right, let's move ahead to Gemini. When we place Gemini on the ascendant, we put Mars retrograde into the first house. Now this is happening again as Saturn has just recently turned direct in the ninth. And as eclipses are coming through the 6th and the 12th houses, let's just draw a little recent eclipse in the 6th and 12th. I look at this and I wonder about a crisis of health, a crisis of identity, a crisis of belief. Or if crisis is too strong of a word, just a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of attitude, a change of appearance, a change of lifestyle, a change of diet, something like that, probably rooted in something that you're learning or a shifting of your belief or philosophy or outlook because it's connecting to Saturn in the ninth. But that sixth and 12th would suggest to me that there's been some turmoil or there may be some turmoil. It could be that because of the turmoil that you're dealing with, whether that's in health or at work or in relationships or some area of life, the 12th and 6th houses tend to bring up that shadow stuff that we have to work through that's not so easy. When that comes up and at the same time Mars is retrograding in your first, hitting Saturn in the ninth, I think you're making some kind of philosophical and existential adjustment to the challenges that you're meeting or facing right now. So that is what comes to mind for me if you're a Gemini. All right. Let's go ahead and we will now put Cancer on the ascendant. All right, this places Mars's retrograde in the 12th house. Difficult place, right? And it makes the trine to the recently upcoming trine to the recently stationed turn direct Saturn in Aquarius in the 8th house. And then we have the eclipses happening across houses 11 and 5. This is really interesting. I feel like if you have children, you might be dealing with and I say this because the fifth house is so emphasized here with the recent eclipse in Scorpio in the fifth. You could very well be dealing with some of the karma that you have that you're passing on to your children and you're starting to recognize it. It could also be that you are starting to recognize generational karma between your parents and you and your children in maybe complicated ways. It could also be that you're looking at the kinds of obligations that you have to children, like as a parent, and the way in which you feel held back or frustrated by them, which is a pretty typical thing for parents to go through. So I think there's a whole level of potential shadows around children and parenting for Cancers. On the other hand, I think the shadows of pleasure or the pleasure-seeking impulse are indicated here. For example, I could see this combination of planetary transits happening in the life of someone who's deciding to get sober or who might be allowing themselves to have fun in a way that they might typically be afraid to do, whether that's dancing or having a glass of wine when you know that you might get a little bit more loose in the tongue. You know what I mean? Like maybe it's something really simple. It's not even that big of a deal, but for you, it's really scary to take that step towards something that has always felt indulgent. I could also see this being a time where there are secrets, deception, betrayal, adultery. You want to be careful of those themes because Mars is retrograde in the 12th. Excuse me, with the eclipse in the 5th could point to secrets around pleasure, secrets around indulgence or sexuality or something like that. I think that there's also something here about who and what we feel indebted to and the frustration we feel of someone or something that we feel like we owe something to and that it's prohibiting our desires in some way. So those are, and again, that could have something to do with parenting. I was saying that could be a thing about that parents are dealing with, but it could be something that you're dealing with, you know, like I feel you might feel entangled with a boss that you don't like working for or a financial obligation that, you know, holds you back in some way, or a spouse or a marriage partner that you feel like is holding you back and it's frustrating. I think honesty and being truthful about what you desire, what feels good, what doesn't, where you feel stuck with the people you love is probably important if you're a Cancer this month. Leo, let's go forward. We'll put Leo on the ascendant. This places Mars into the 11th house. So the Mars retrograde is in the 11th and the trine will be to Saturn in the 7th. And that, remember, Saturn's just turned direct. Mars will be backing into a trine with that Saturn. From the 11th to the 7th, For Leos, I wonder about groups and intimate relationships and whether, like, for example, this might be a time where you're wondering if you're like, why can't my spouse get along with my friends? Or why don't I like my lover's group of friends or something like that? So compatibility between social life and intimate romantic life, I wonder if there's a conversation happening there. Also, because the eclipses here are taking place across the 10th and 4th axis, I also wonder about family, marriage, and professional karma. Like all together, you've got those three angular houses just getting lit up. Home and family at the roots, marriage in the 7th, the place of career and public reputation in the 10th. With Mars retrograding in the 11th, it's as though, are you having to make some kind of adjustment with who you associate with or what groups you belong to or who you consider to be your friends or allies? And is that change coming because of the pressure you're feeling around marriage, home, and work? for example, you move to a new area. You have a lot, you know, the pressure of helping your family integrate. Your spouse maybe is getting their footing. You're trying to establish your new role at work and you're trying to figure out your social life. Like a perfect storm of social, personal factors at work here. So I would look to this as not just now, but going forward all the way through mid-January. This Mars retrograde has the feeling of amending your social life and your group or social affiliations as pressures from home, work, and marriage are all a part of, like, really critical part of the equation of how you're changing your social dynamics. Okay, let's put Virgo on the ascendant next. So Virgos have the fun one, right? Which is the Mars retrograde in your place of work. Now that is happening at the same time that you are getting a trine from the Saturn turning direct in the 6th, and the eclipses are coming across the 3rd and the 9th. Now, I would say that the one possibility here that stands out is that you have a conflict at work or with your employer, or that you have some kind of philosophical change that leads to a work change, a spiritual or philosophical transformation that is impacting how you work, or a change at work, or a change in your title or vocation or who you're working for or something like that. I would say that philosophical, spiritual, intellectual considerations are really intense right now. And they are also either conflicting with your ability to work, your loyalties at work, or you know, what your commitments or priorities are, or even the approach you take within a job that you like and want to stay with. It's something about how you're managing your day-to-day activities at work, or what skills you're using at work, what you'd like to be using, what skills you're adding. So learning, work, and maybe dealing with some frustrations and how to meet or transform those frustrations at work or in the day-to-day grind, and coinciding with philosophical or spiritual changes. Those are the main things that I'm seeing. A change of approach rooted in a change of philosophy or something like that. All right, that is for Libra, or that was for Virgo. Now Libra on the ascendant, where we place Mars retrograde into the 9th house. We place Mars into the 9th, and then we simultaneously see the trine to the recently, Saturn having recently turned direct is in the 5th. So we're connecting Mars moving back into a trine with that Saturn as the eclipses are happening across the 2nd and 8th. Now, here I look at this and I wonder about, first of all, financial changes stand out dramatically. I could see this as a pretty dramatic shift around business, money, debts, finances, but it's coinciding with something that's academic, religious, philosophical, political. For example, if you're an elected official, or if you're someone who works for the government and your job may change based on who's in office, and election season is coming up right now. Do you see what I mean? So how is your financial situation changing because of some larger or broader philosophical change happening at work or in the environment or in yourself? Mars is retrograding in the ninth, which will often suggest a change of your rhetorical approach, your values, your convictions, your beliefs, your ideologies. There's some shift going on there. Or like in the workplace, the boss is taking a different philosophical approach, or you're taking one. And I think that there's questions like, you know, this change may be for the better. Like, it's a good philosophical change that you're making, but it's one that may change your bottom line or impact your finances adversely or something like that. For example, many people get tired of corporate jobs. They take a yoga class, you know, then they're like, I want to do something spiritual for a living, but oh, wait, if I do that, I won't have healthcare, or I will make barely any money or something like that. So I wonder about philosophical changes in conversation with financial realities and bottom lines. I also wonder about the question about a philosophy that accommodates more joy, happiness, playfulness, creativity, because that Mars retrograde in the ninth house is pretty playful. It's going back into a trine with Saturn in the house of joy and pleasure. All these eclipses are happening in super, super Venus-y eclipses. So I also wonder about, like, is my philosophy changing because I need to loosen up a little bit more? Transformation of values, transformation of beliefs, including how I manage or spend time, you know, my time, energy, money, and resources, and some shift in how I use or manage those things and what I value that is taking place, sort of like a philosophical transformation, but it has very physical impact on how you love or how you enjoy or how you take pleasure, something like that. All right. Well, some of these, I ramble on here trying to describe what I'm seeing. So I hope you're getting something good out of it. Anyway, let's move to Scorpio. Excuse me. Let's put Scorpio on the ascendant. And with Scorpio on the ascendant, we are looking at a Mars retrograde in the eighth house. Now, that Mars retrograde in the eighth house is trine to Saturn in the fourth, with eclipses across the first and seventh. Here, I wonder about marriage and property, marriage and inheritance, marriage and family karma, marriage and relationships and debt or obligations that come about because of or through those relationships. So, for example, I have to, you know, pay to help an ailing family member. It creates a little tension in my relationship. Anything that would be about the intersection of marriage dynamics, where two people have differing needs, values, opinions, desires, and then the needs or obligations that we have to family and debts that we have to one another. Now, I say that because Mars is retrograde in a house that's all about joint assets, resources, debts, and obligations, while it's trining Saturn in the fourth house of home and family. And then you have eclipses across the first and seventh house, which could generate conversations around family and obligations that we have to other people. And that's not always easy to navigate when the first house eclipse is also saying, yeah, but what about me? What do I need, or what do I want? So that's the sort of complex picture that I'm seeing for Scorpios right now. All right, let's put Sagittarius on the ascendant, which of course will move Mars into the seventh house of marriage and relationships. This might be the most challenging one in some ways, because Mars retrograde in the house of marriage and relationships is, to be completely honest, I have seen like quite a few divorces with this type of transit. Like, I feel like this is like a breakup transit. It can be. And now, if you're in a relationship and you have this happening and you're happy and you don't see anything like to be worried about, then don't be. But if you're like, there's fault lines and you can see and sense them, then, you know, you might prepare yourself for more difficult or you might be at more of a crossroads in relationships. We can also see that the Mars retrograde is going back into a trine with Saturn, who's just turned direct in the third house, while the eclipses are happening across houses 12 and 6. I think of this as difficult conversation territory in relationships, where, how changeable can you be, or should someone else be, or how inflexible are you being, or is someone else being? I think those might be some of the key themes here, because Mars retrograde in the seventh might be about, you know, revisiting old conflicts or being open to changing your mind or allowing someone else to change your mind or to change you mentally, philosophically. There's a lot of communication I see for Sagittarius this month. It's not all easy though. The eclipses across houses 6 and 12 are going to bring up that shadow material to work with. So the stuff coming up from the unconscious is in a sense mental, intellectual, relational, and communicative. And I think it's about how open can I be to someone else's influence, or should I be? Or how open is someone else to mine? Okay. All right. Let's put Capricorn on the ascendant next. So with Capricorn on the ascendant, we have Mars in Gemini. And Mars in Gemini will be trining Saturn in the second house, while eclipses are falling across the 11th and 5th houses. Here, I wonder about things that the cost of the things that we wish for, hope for, or desire. Mars's retrograde in the 6th could suggest a process of being frustrated in the pursuit of something we desire or are working for. When there's a setback in your workout routine because of an injury, when there's a setback in building something because of a delay in shipping some, excuse me, allergies really bad right now. When there's a delay in shipping some essential part of what you need or what the project needs, you're like, oh, and we're waiting for this, stone to come in for the garden. Something we dealt with a landscaping project. With Mars retrograding into a trine with Saturn in the second house, the question of the cost of something. What is almost like there's a resource that we're lacking or that we need, which is coming up right at the time where possibilities and opportunities with other people or creative opportunities are sort of opening up and flourishing. Eclipses in the 11th and 5th houses often bring, you know, opportunities for collaboration, for dreams and wishes to come true, for creative projects to begin. So I like the eclipses there, but the Mars retrograde hitting the Saturn in the second makes me feel like don't be surprised if there's some delays or setbacks or frustrations that you have to work through before those things can be realized. That's sort of what I'm seeing for Caps. All right. Aquarius, we are placing Mars's retrograde into the fifth house. Now, Mars's retrograde in the fifth house will trine Saturn in the first. So that Mars retrograde in the fifth house is an interesting one, because the fifth house is, I feel like this is the most playful position that Mars's retrograde is going to be in for any of the signs. This is where I see a musician changing their style or approach, or an artist using colors they've never used before. There's something very experimental and playful about this. And yet with the trine to Saturn in your first house, I wonder if you're going to run into your own resistance, either the need to be different or the need to be the same, and how the need to be different or the need to be the same as other people are playing a role in some kind of different creative approach that you're wanting to take right now. For example, here's something I really want to do, something new I want to try on that gives me joy or pleasure creatively in any area of life, just a joyful, spontaneous, creative exploration of something. Very Mars retrograde in the fifth. But Saturn says, well, what will other people think? Will they think I'm selling out, you know, or will they think I'm different? Or I could see Saturn being a little paranoid and controlling, and I would be a little bit careful of that. Although we could also be asking the question, how do I integrate into my personality some kind of creative shift, some kind of creative development or birth that is coming through me? And that might be a good question. Like a, you know, it's a real process to figure out how to integrate a creative change into your very being. The creative change is coming through and you're realizing this is not just something that's coming through. It's also changing me. How do I incorporate that change? And I think the simultaneous tension of the eclipses in the 10th and 4th house could suggest that this change is professional, or that it relates back to your roots, your childhood, your family somehow. So those are the fault lines that I would watch for if you're an Aquarius sun or rising. All right, well, last but not least, we have Pisces on the ascendant. And we are taking that Mars retrograde, putting it into the fourth house, trying to recently stationed and direct Saturn in the 12th with eclipses across the 9th and 3rd. So for this one, I wonder about family karma comes to mind right away. But it's not just family karma, it's about what makes you feel included or excluded. And it's, which could be a part of family, but might be more about a feeling of whether or not you are rooted, safe, or secure in the world in general. And the simultaneous presence of the eclipses across the 3rd and the 9th house suggests to me that this exploration of security, whether it's emotional or physical, or if it taps back into family karma, is related to your beliefs. It's related to the mind. It's related to the intellect. It's related to the paradigm you live with. It's related to changes that you're making in your outlook, your convictions, your philosophy, or your ethical convictions. Third and ninth house eclipses usually bring learning of a new subject, a change in philosophy or spirituality, new teachers and new subjects that you become passionate about. So as you are making those changes around mind, spirit, intellect, and so forth, there's a simultaneous exploration around home, family, roots, security, belonging, and things like that. So that's how I'm seeing it for Pisces. All right. Well, that covers it. Those are your in-context eclipse forecasts. I hope that they are useful for you, give you some good topics to start keying in on. I don't think that the best thing to do with forecasts like this is to take them and to let it start spinning the water wheels, you know, in your head, so that you can start saying, okay, I know the general vicinity and these different places that are coming up. If you re-listen to it a few times between now and the end of the month and just revisit those things, you're usually going to start to see where in your life the themes that I'm mentioning, like how they're actually connected to your life. So it's a little bit like you got to take my stencils and creatively look at, like, overlay them with your experience as the month goes on to see how they match. And if you do that, it also teaches you astrology. Like that's the best way to learn astrology in a sense. So I recommend coming back and revisiting this a few times, especially because it's a really big, deep, long transit. It's lasting not just this month, but all the way till mid-January before it turns direct again. And I apologize. We got home from Disney World. I had just gotten over a cold that I actually, a sinus infection that I picked up from my girls at school. It's like, I swear to God, once Saturn is done opposing my ascendant ruler, I have had like, I think I counted like from all of them have been from my kids, and I've had like 10 colds or something. And, you know, I'm like, relatively speaking, I'm a very healthy person. So So it's just been crazy. And I don't know if any of you guys have gone through this phase where you have kids and like it for a few years of your life, it feels like every 5 weeks you get a cold, you're just dealing with it. Family immunity, family bonding includes this whole phase. So I apologize because, you know, it's like my videos just, you know, sound like I'm dying sometimes, but the show must go on. And I'm always well enough to do it, but sometimes my voice and my throat just get scratchy. So, all right. Well, I hope you guys are, and please, I just have to say this. I know it's going to sound kind of jerky, but like anytime I ever talk about my health or a cold, I get tons of like unsolicited advice. I don't even read it. I just don't. As soon as I can tell someone's trying to give me advice, tell me what I need, blah, 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 I just ignore, you know, because it's just like, I'm set. I'm fine. Like appreciated, but you know, I'm not asking for that. So anyway, I hope you guys have a great month and that this retrograde is very positive for you overall. Don't forget to share your stories. Use the hashtag grabbed or grabbed@nightlightastrology.com and share your stories in the comment section. I'd love to hear from you guys and hear how everything's going. We'll be doing a storytelling episode soon. All right, that's what I've got. Take it easy, everyone.